And welcome to hour number two. Larry Bluestein, Trevor Harris, taking you up until 9 o'clock on this Monday evening. Glad you could be with us. Thanks to everybody who has been listening to us and texting and sending messages to the station. I thank you very much for everything. And if you miss everything or anything tonight, just go to WQAM.com, go to the top of the page where it says podcast, and you can hit us right there at South Florida High School Sports. Hit every guest that we've had over the last couple of years. There's been some really good shows. We had a best of last week that kind of illustrated a lot of those really good shows. And we had a really good first hour as well. We talked a little bit of everything. We started off talking to Mike Smith, the head coach at American Heritage Plantation, who's won the last two state championships. We hadn't had an opportunity to talk with him since the state championship. And now he's out west in San Antonio at the Navy All-American game, has brought one of his players, Amari Nugent, out there. Also his defensive coordinator, Daryl Porter, plus a couple of other players from the South Florida area. We also talked to Zayden Gamble, junior defensive back from St. Thomas Aquinas, who had an opportunity to watch this past weekend up at the Under Armour. And we just talked about the University of Miami and Ole Miss Rebels on Thursday in the national semifinals. How about that? Talked to Gio Million. But we open up hour number two with somebody that we have on every year. We talk a lot of football, talk some recruiting, we talk NIL, but we kind of mix it up a little bit with Chad Wilson from Gridiron Studs tonight, because he played at the University of Miami, defensive back, and you know, both of his sons played collegiately and in the NFL as well, so he knows a little bit, just a tad, about the recruiting process. And we welcome in Chad Wilson. Chad, thanks so much for taking the time, and a happy new year to you. And certainly kind of a thrilling college football season, where probably midway it didn't look, you know, too good for Miami, but looking pretty good right now.
Anytime we're vying for that top spot, it is a great football season, Larry. And happy new year to you and everyone else listening.
Yeah, it's, you know, and I don't know if you heard, but, you know, we started off, we talked a little bit with Mike, and obviously you've been with Mike before. And, you know, we talked about the way that things have gone with the NIL. And I noticed it last year when in these All-Star games, they started including underclassmen. And at the time, it kind of didn't dawn on me as much, Chad. But this year, when I was up in Orlando and watching so many juniors out there, I said, okay. These NIL contracts now are starting to prohibit these kids from playing in these All-Star games, because obviously in 9 or 10 days, they want them on campus. They want them healthy. And they want them vying for, you know, a position on the football team where they're playing a lot of money. Talk about how that has changed the entire picture of, as far as, you know, recruiting has gone, because last year we talked about it, you and I, how, you know, the NIL and then the portal is cut into, you know, the high school recruiting, but still there's a lot of schools, Miami in particular, that has found a way to kind of keep relevant in the recruiting of high school football players.
And it's had a major trickle-down effect. You know, we talked last year about high school. I hear more about how it has affected youth football, because the parents of youth football players are closer to the money. And so, you know, you'd have to wait till a kid turned 20, 21 years old. He came out early from college and went into the NFL. And then, you know, there was a big contract signed. Now you have the ability to do that at 17, 18 years old, maybe even 16 years old if the kid reclassifies and is able to do that. So there's more pressure for the 8, 9 year old to be on course. And that's just such an unrealistic situation, because you have no idea what a kid is at 8 or 9 years old. So there's a tremendous amount of pressure parents are putting on themselves. They're putting on the youth football coaches, and they're putting on these players who may not even really like football like that yet. So there's a major trickle-down effect. I just think, though, Larry, that, you know, we're two older guys. We could say that. But we, you know, the toothpaste is out of the tube. So I think everyone just needs to adjust to what is the current college football. It does not look at all like anything it what looked like 10 years ago. Certainly doesn't look like anything that I played in. It's almost a totally different sport. And I think folks are just going to have to adjust to a situation where Texas Tech can bring in a transfer quarterback and pay him $5 million. It's eye-popping, but that's just our new reality.
Yeah, no, I agree. And even if you go back to Quincy and Marco, your two sons, which really wasn't that long ago, it was a different time then. You know, it wasn't what it is now. So what you're probably learning now is through your All Eyes camps and stuff that you're talking to a lot of the parents who are of today, as you mentioned, youth football, first couple of years of high school football. So you're learning a lot more about what they're being approached with. You know, I talk to people like Robert Bailey and people like that. And, you know, it's just, as you just said, you got to keep up with the times. I mean, you could complain about it all you want, but you know, when you take a look at it, Chad, this is where we're at. I mean, this is where we're at, and either you adapt or you fall behind. And, you know, I mean, I'm a little bit older, so for me, it would be tougher to comprehend, but I'm of that belief that I understand. Okay. I'm not going to close my mind to it because I have to work in this industry, you know, so I understand it. You're in the same boat. I mean, you know, I mean, you're at a position where you deal with this all the time because parents are going to come up to you and ask you your advice or your opinion because they know you've been through it. They've known, you know, they knew you played. They know your sons have been in this situation. How do you deal with this? Do you just go and say, hey, listen, you know what? You got to go with what everybody else is doing, because if you don't, then you'll fall behind.
Yeah, I mean, we could complain about the price of gas, but unless you figure out something else you could put in the tank to make the car go, you're just going to have to pay the price. A lot of what I get question-wise, though, is just dealing with the transfer portal. And I think that's probably the biggest problem that we have. That we have an unregulated, so to speak, transfer portal combined with NIL. And I think that's probably our biggest problem. I think if they could put some more rules on the transfer portal, I think it would kind of cure a whole lot of the other issues that we might have. But a lot of what I face is just the transfer portal. And it's not necessarily the top of the line kids, because frankly, I'm not an agent. I'm not in that financial world, so I'm not dishing out advice on what NIL deal you should take. And quite frankly, it's usually the highest bidder is usually how this thing works, fortunately or unfortunately. The bigger issue for the masses is just going in the transfer portal because maybe a player or two came in at your position at school that you didn't expect, and now you've got to make a decision about your future. Or a guy is, you know, he was not highly recruited coming out of high school and he went to a lower division and, you know, he's had a good season. Was the season good enough? Should I go in a transfer portal? Should I try to level up? Everyone's trying to get to the money somehow. And so that decision gets made. I know there's 4,500 kids in the transfer portal. Probably will be 100 more when we're done with this segment. And they're not all going to find a new home, and many of them are probably making a poor decision. But again, this is the college football that exists. My biggest heart, my heart aches though for the high school football players, because they're probably the ones taking it. They're getting it the hardest out of this whole situation.
100%, and I agree with you. And you know, here's a scenario too. Okay, and I try to rationalize this because of the fact that look at, you know, and not just at Miami, but we could look at Miami with the quarterback situation with Cam Ward last year, and then obviously Carson Beck this year. But yet they went out and got two high profile quarterbacks. And I always say this: if I'm, you know, a Darian Coleman who's coming out of Orlando Jones as a, you know, one of the top quarterbacks in the country, I say, go to Florida A&M, go to Kaiser, go to one of those schools, cut your teeth, get your 2 years in, build a resume, and then you could start, you know, talking. Look at Tiger from Northwestern. He had to go to Western Carolina, set all these type of records this last year. You look at somebody that's, you know, like Luke Nickel. To me, if I was saying to him out of high school in Milton, Georgia, I'd say, hey, go to Georgia State, go to Georgia Southern, Play your year, play your 2 years, then you have a resume to build up. See, because that to me is a lot better than coming to Miami and sitting your butt on the bench. Because I noticed this year, even when Miami was up 38-7 on Pittsburgh with 4 minutes left, Emery Williams was still on the bench. So where does that go? Where does that, you know, because Miami wanted to try to impress and score as many as possible. So what happens with players like that? You're not going to build a billion dollar roster, Chad, with and then put a $5 watch band on it. You're just not.
No,
you're going to go.
You're absolutely correct, Larry. That's good advice. I think you definitely go where you're wanted, where you're needed, and you know whether you're a kid or definitely if you're an adult, because you've got some experience in this world. You know who those people are. Unless you're one of these guys whose dream it was to play at a particular school and just wear the colors and, you know, whatever, with the depth chart be damned, then okay, you go do that. But outside of that, everywhere is pretty much a junior college now. So if you weren't highly touted, they're not throwing numbers your way, go to a smaller school and, you know, try to rack it up there, try to prove yourself there, be dominant. Stuff the stat sheet, and this sounds crazy because this is a team sport and really shouldn't be all about that, but it really does sound like everyone's out for themselves. But go build yourself up at one of these smaller programs, and then every year you do have the opportunity to go somewhere else. The only fear there is that at some point they may decide to put some rules in on transferring, and that, you know, you could get caught at a school that you can't really get out of. But until that point, use the system for what it is and how it is. And like you said, you know, if you're not highly touted, go to the school that wants you. I think these schools, the smaller schools, understand that these players are one-year renewables. Most will probably have a kid, if he's really good and has, you know, set our league on fire, is 2 years, and then we know that kid's gone.
Yeah.
Well, these coaches have mixed that into the whole equation. We're not keeping a guy 4 years at a lower school if he's dominating.
Yeah, 100%. And, I mean, you look at guys like Alex Orji, who was one of the best high school quarterbacks coming out of a generation, and he's at UNLV sitting the bench. You got guys like DJ Lagway. Oh, he's going to be a savior today. He's looking at FSU now. I mean, and you look at Jaden Rashada, who was out for the money from the beginning, and he's going to school number four now. So to me, build your resume, you know, suck it up, because what you're doing is you're investing in yourself. And that's what was told to me. Listen, you know what? You go to – and look at how many avenues you have down here, from Florida Memorial to St. Thomas University to Kaiser University. Heck, you have a Division II program at West Florida. That to me is where you start doing your job. I mean, you know what? You know, put your ego behind you. Go win a job over at one of these small schools. Put in a year or two, and that's great. Before I let you go, let everybody, because I know you do a great thing with your All Eyes defensive back camp, please let everybody know how they can get involved in that, because, I mean, you do a tremendous job in getting kids ready, you know, for whatever level, for youth football, for high school, for whatever. Let everybody know how they can contact you, because we're going to have you back on and we'll talk a little bit more of that, in the spring. But I just want to give you a forum to let everybody know how they can get involved in that as well.
Absolutely, Larry. Coaching the secondary, training guys to play well, and that back end has been a passionate pursuit of mine for quite some time. So anyone with defensive backs ages 13 plus all the way up to the pros, you can reach out to me for defensive back training. You can reach me on Instagram at All Eyes DB Camp, or you can go to alleyesdbcamp.com. Find me there, reach out, and even if you're out of the area and you can't meet me in person, I've got great resources for you that can help you with your game and get you to that NIL money that you are seeking as well.
Look at you, that, man. I love it. And if you go, you get his pretty wife, Carmen, who helps out as well. She does.
Absolutely.
She more than pulls her weight around there. So she does a great job as well. Hey, listen, yeah. I can't thank you enough. Happy New Year. Say that to the family for me. We'll talk soon. I appreciate you. And I know that you'll be rooting for Miami on Thursday evening.
No doubt. Same to you, Larry. Appreciate you having me on. Happy New Year. Thank you.
You too. Chad Wilson, Gridiron Stud and All Eyes Camp. We appreciate him checking in. I wanted to get a little bit more into what he does, but we got kind of carried away on the NIL, but which is very important as well.